beautiful Sunday morning after we had torrential rain yesterday. I went to my boys' soccer games, and the first one started at 10 o'clock, and the next one started at 12 o'clock. And we're up at Maida Vale, up in the hills, and I have never seen rain like that, honestly. We got absolutely smashed by the rain, but it was good fun. The kids at halftime, shame, I felt so sorry for them. They were standing there in the huddle, getting absolutely soaked, and we all got our big rain jackets on and, you know, umbrellas, big boots. The kids were getting absolutely soaked, but they both had a win, so that's a good thing. And it was a fantastic time for them just to get out there and experience life, and I think they really did feel alive after that one. But thank the Lord this morning. We've got a beautiful day. There's no rain today, apparently. It's going to be nice and clear and a stunning day to get out there and enjoy our lives this morning after church. Amen. Just as Dave mentioned before, I'd just like to elaborate just quickly just on our giving to the vision. I wonder if we can have that slide up again there, Max. And thank you to Josie, who's put this together. There actually is other information which comes with this. It'll be in the form of a booklet, and it's going to explain in detail exactly what we're giving into this year. I'll just go over a couple things just quickly. Firstly, if you go out those doors just behind you, we have a basketball court out there, and we have a big area where a lot of our children from our outreach program play every Wednesday, and also they play basketball on Fridays. But the problem is we have it's actually a really ugly area, to be honest. It needs improving. It needs regenerating. There's a kind of a metal cyclone-looking fence. There's big holes in it. We've had kids go through these holes on Wednesdays into the car park there. They've gone missing for a few minutes before we've noticed. We've already had to clamp down on that. Also, the security is not great around that corner of the church. So what we want to do is we're going to put up a color bond fence all the way across and including the gates, replace the gates, because we want that area to be safe. We want that area. We got a duty of care towards any child or any teenager who comes in this church. So we're going to replace all the color bond fencing and make it more private, because as you know, there's a gym on the other side. There are hundreds of people there, and often they're standing there watching our kids while they're playing, and we just don't think it's the best setup. So for the sake of security and privacy, we want to put up a color bond fence across it. That's going to cost a lot of money. We know that, but we are committed to that. Also, we like to just fix that area up with proper lighting so the youth can play basketball there Friday nights and after church and whenever else they would like to. So that's part of it, a part of the giving to the vision. That's just one area which I thought I'd share about today. It's also great to have many people joining us online today. We've actually got a camera set up straight down the middle here. And I'd like to acknowledge all those who are joining us online this morning. As you know, many people have not returned to church, either because they've been sick or because they're just not sure about it just yet. And we have others who have even joined us from other parts of Australia, which is good to have them join us online as well. So we would like to also improve that area of the life of our church in this giving to the vision. Oh, thank you. Josie, upgrade the multimedia equipment. That's the second one there. The second one there. So that's something we're going to be doing as well. We will need to invest in that to make that the best experience possible. If you can't come to church physically, well, then you can join us remotely. I mean, it's not the most ideal way to come to church. We know that. But it does serve its purpose. And especially during this pandemic time, if you've been sick, unwell, you can still be a part of what the Lord's doing, amen? So welcome to all those people this morning who are joining us in that way. So I'll just share on those two things today. As I mentioned, we will have a pamphlet coming out either today or next week with detailed information on each one of those things over there. So I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do through this year for His glory, amen? Amen. Classic. Well, this morning, I'm so excited to share God's word with you today. I really am. And as you may be aware, we've started a series, a bit of a mini series, a couple weeks ago, and we've called it Transformed by God. That our lives are transformed by God. We know that when we are saved, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, I'm just going to give you a quick recap. Today is going to be super practical when we look at God's word. So, Max, we've got Titus chapter 3. So, we know that he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. Did you know that? God didn't save you because you were good enough for him. We need to get that into our minds. Because otherwise we might live the rest of our Christian lives thinking that. But God didn't save us because we were good enough. No. But according to his own mercy. What is mercy? God not giving us what we deserve. Right? Jesus received what we deserve. Jesus received death on a cross. But that was God's mercy towards us. Right? Let's continue. By the washing, two ways, regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And we have looked at this in detail, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning. But the first point is that he saved us. We didn't save us. No matter how good we were, no matter how much we try to change ourselves through philosophy or positive speaking or all this kind of stuff, it was only him who can save us by the Spirit. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Spirit, this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So last week I made the point that God has got planned transformation for your life. Did you know that? I'll say it again. God has got planned transformation for your life. Are you aware of that? That the Lord, right now as you sit here, right now as I'm standing here, is transforming our lives by one degree of glory. This morning, we can be transformed all over again. This morning, there's another bit of transformation we all need. Would you all agree? Would you agree that your life needs constant renewal and transformation? I believe that with all my heart. So where does this all start? Where does this process of transformation start? Well, we know it starts when we give our lives over to Jesus, when we acknowledge who Jesus is. That's where it starts. And we do that, and I preached it to you last week, it all starts with repentance. Amen? I wrote this down during the week as I've been kind of putting all these dots together. It's been amazing. I love preaching this way in a series because each week builds on the week before. So listen to this. I made this up myself. Okay, I'm just saying that. Okay. Lasting change starts with repentance and leads to transformation. Who believes that? Lasting change. Not just change that's here for 1 month or 2 months, but lasting change starts with repentance and leads ultimately to the transformation of our lives before the Lord. And we looked quite in detail last week about repentance. So I'm not going to focus too much on that this morning. But we basically said repentance is bringing your life under a new authority. Jesus said it. It's actually the number one thing he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Or repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know, this week, I'm not going to mention a lot about this morning, but this week, I started in Genesis and I worked my way all the way through to Matthew. And I looked at repentance. I looked at this concept, this word repent, and we see it all the way through Scripture, from the start all the way to the end. We see Samuel, we see Moses calling the people to repentance after they had followed other gods. We see the judges, we see the prophets, we see John the Baptist, we see Jesus, we see the early apostles calling people to repentance. To bring their life under a new authority, to no longer live under the authority they were living under before, which is the authority of the world, i.e. the devil, but now to bring your life under a new authority. And as you begin to do that, from that moment, your life begins to transform. That's what Jesus does. That's what the Spirit does in our lives. Listen to this quote. And we actually read this during the discipleship training course. D.L. Moody, an amazing preacher from America from many years ago, he said, "Man is born with his back towards God, but when he truly repents, he turns right around and faces God. Repentance is a change of mind." Repentance is when we are walking in one direction, we have an encounter with the Lord, just like Paul the apostle had. You turn around and you face God, and you don't stop fixing your eyes on Jesus, Maritha, as we sung this morning. We'll fix our eyes on the Lord. All right, quickly, in two minutes, I'll just explain this to you. The word repent, we said it last week, repentance. It's the Greek word metaneon, right? It means a change of thinking. Or I'll put it this way. It's a change of the mind's perceptions, dispositions, and its purposes. That's what John Piper says. It's to experience a change of the mind's perception, dispositions, and its purposes. So in other words, it's orientating your life under this new authority, which is God. No longer are you living for yourself, but now you are living for the Lord. Metaneon, a change of mind, a change of thinking, a change of doing. Because as we know, as you think, so you are. As you think, so you act. So if we can get our stinking thinking fixed, well, then it's going to actually affect our behavior. And we believe the Lord does this, right? We don't do this in our own strength. But what we will be looking at this morning is, how can we work in with the Spirit? How can we work in with the Spirit in the renewal of our minds? Okay, last week, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Max, you got that one. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Can we go to verse 2, please? Okay. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." I seem to be a bit further away from you today. Am I a bit further away? I think I am. So, what a wonderful scripture. Who has heard this scripture before? Put your hand up. Put your hand up quickly. Okay. You've heard the scripture. If you haven't heard the scripture before, can I encourage you, go home today, take this scripture and memorize it in this next week. Because this scripture will change your life. It's changed my life 100%. It's turned me inside out. This scripture here. "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." You see here, it doesn't say that God is going to not conform us or God is going to renew our mind. It says that we have a part to play in this, don't we? We can work in with the Spirit who saved us and is renewing us. We can work in with Him. Amen. Awesome. So this morning, we're going to start off afresh. This morning, we're going to be looking at this is the topic: renewing the mind with the Word of God. Who thinks that's a good idea? How do we renew our minds in order to be continually transformed by God? Okay? There's many ways we can do it, but one of the ways I believe, and the number one way that the Lord uses, is the power of His Word. God uses His Word to renew our minds. As we walk with the Spirit, the Lord, and as we read the Word, the Spirit brings the Word of God alive. Otherwise, it's just a book. But He brings the Word of God alive and He helps us on this journey of transformation, on this journey of faith for Him. Okay, so how do we put God's Word into practice in practical ways? We're going to look at that right now. Okay, firstly, number one, if you're making notes, if you're writing things on your phone, because you're not on Facebook right now, are you? No, you're not. You've got your phone open and you've got the Word of God on you, or you've got your notes. Okay, here we go. Number one, let's be alert. Was that a bit loud? Sorry, Anna. Anna was saying it was a bit loud here this morning. Let's be alert. If there's ever a time in history where you and I need to be alert, it is now. You know, I think one of the biggest strategies the devil uses is to make us exhausted, is to make us apathetic, is to make us going through life with our eyes half closed. And one of the ways he uses is technology. Do you know what we are doing to ourselves? Many times, we are entertaining ourselves to death. I don't think there's ever been a generation that has spent so much time in multimedia, Netflix, Stan, KO, Paramount, Amazon Prime. You mentioned it, right? And I have all those things. True story. Across the spectrum, we've got the KO for sport, we've got Netflix for movies, to watch series. We've all got them, right? We've all got these things. One thing I don't have is Instagram or Facebook. You know, three and a half years ago, I ditched those. I kept the messenger part. But what I found was, after I ditched those two things, my telephone would last the whole day. It would never make it past lunchtime when I had Facebook and Instagram on my phone. Because I'd be on there, right? But now my battery life is, but my phone's loving me for it. No worries. Let's be alert. Let's not be slumbering. Let's be awake to what the Lord has for us. There's a great scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And this is a word I looked at last week, the word schemes. From Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That word conformed is the same root word for this word here, schemes. Schizmatio. It's like an incremental pattern of change in which the devil wants to bring in your life. See, the opposite's always true when it comes to the devil, isn't it? We've said this over again. As God is transforming us, the devil wants the opposite. The devil wants us to conform to the patterns of this world. But God, He has this plan of transformation. So the Bible tells us here, let's not be unaware. How about this morning, that we get the revelation that we have an enemy? Let's not be unaware of his schemes. And I think I read it to you last week, that the devil, he's got this filing cabinet. And in the filing cabinet, he's got a folder with your name on it. True story. On this folder with your name on it, he's tried strategies. Okay, let me try this one. Discouragement. How does that one work with Luke? Or how about this one? Pride. He's got boxes there and he's like, this one works, this doesn't work, this one doesn't work, this one works. And 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us that the devil goes around like a roaring lion looking for those he can devour. We are smart as Christians. Let's be smart Christians. Let's not be unaware of the devil's schemes. Thank you, Max, for putting that scripture up there. The devil has a scheme to devour and destroy your life. God is the opposite plan, amen? John 10, verse 10. He's come to bring life and life in abundance. We are not ignorant. The ESV translation says, we are not ignorant of his designs. In the NIV, it says, we're not ignorant of his schemes. We're not ignorant of his designs, and that points back to that same word, patterns. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but transform. We are not unaware. We know. You need to know where you are weak. Amen? Be aware of your weaknesses, because that's where you are vulnerable. Amen? We need to be aware of these things. We are not unaware, because that's what the devil uses, ignorance. When we're ignorant, or when we don't actually assess our lives and we realize those things in our lives, which the devil can actually get a foothold in. Let's not be unaware. We are aware. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say to them, let's be alert. Let's be alert. Alert. Apathy is a terrible thing. Number two, are you ready? Number one, in the renewing of our minds, we need to be alert of the devil's schemes. Number two, the second thing this morning, which the Lord has placed on my heart to share with you, is this. Have a temptation plan of attack. Have a temptation. Do you have a temptation plan? When the devil comes and tempts you, do you have a plan? So number one is we're aware, right? We're aware that the devil's going to come and tempt us. But when he does, what do we do? Do we just lie down and, okay, I'm just going to do whatever the devil wants me to do, because that's literally what it is. We're just going to fall over. We're going to fall down on our knees and worship him. Or are we going to take a stand for the Lord? Listen to this. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not he might flee from you, or he may be flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. And this is once again, as we said, repentance is bringing your life under the authority of God, a new authority. Here we go again. In other words, as we bring our lives under a new authority, when the devil comes, we just say to him, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, right? We have the word of God in our lives. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have stored your word in my heart. Max, I don't know if we got it there. Psalm 119 verse 11. Sorry, I'll just read it to you quickly. Psalm 119 verse 11. If I can find it. Max, you're such a champion. Okay, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Can you see the importance of having God's word in your life? It is a protection for us, isn't it? Because when the devil comes with his fiery darts, Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us the reason why we take up the armor of God is because there's a devil out there. We need armor. We need protection. And we need to be on the attack. So now this word, submit, bring your life under God's authority. It's the Greek word hupotasso. It means under God's arrangement. I like that. Bring your life under God's arrangement, opposed to what we just read, the patterns of the world, the devil's arrangement. Bring your life under God's arrangement. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? It's easy having knowledge. It's easy having reading scripture, but actually applying it in our day-to-day, that's where we really need the Spirit's help, don't we? But that's our advantage. That's what Jesus said. It's to your advantage that I go away to the Father. I'm sending you the Spirit. We know that. John 14, 15, 16, 17, you can read it there. It's to our advantage. We have the Spirit. We have the advantage over the devil. We do. I mean, what did Jesus say when the devil came and tempted him? And what a cheek the devil had, didn't he? Who gave far out, man? You just want to slap him in the face, don't you? He comes to Jesus and he says, bow down and worship me and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. I mean, far out. What did Jesus say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then he quotes scripture. And then the devil quotes scripture back to him. Remember that? When Jesus was facing temptation. But when Jesus faced that temptation, he spoke God's word to the devil. Awesome. And so we continue. Okay, so resist the devil and he will flee from you. And now this word resist, it's a very strong word. You can't just resist apathetically. In other words, resisting takes energy. Resistance is not futile. Resisting is a verb. That word resist, it's actually a verb. It's not a noun. It's not just resist. It's resist. In other words, take action. Renewing the mind as well. Renew. It's an action. All these words are action words. Listen to this. So the word resist, it's actually a military term used in classical Greek, meaning to strongly resist an opponent, take a firm stand against the enemy. That's what the devil called. That's what the devil is trying to do, is make us bow our knee to him. He hasn't ever stopped doing that from Eve all the way through. And here we see in this portion of scripture in the book of James, James the apostle, he says for us to strongly take a firm stand against the devil. See, if you take a weak stand against the devil, he is going to smash you every time. He's going to take you out. He is. And I know you've experienced that. I know I've experienced that. But when I take a firm stand with the Spirit's help, remember, all of this is directed and guided by the Spirit. But then now we have this role ourselves in the renewal of our minds. And these are some tools for us to help us on this journey. So have a temptation plan. Listen to this. Looking into the Greek, this word means to forcefully, this word resist, means to forcefully declare one's personal conviction. Don't you like that? When the devil comes to me and he tempts me, I'm going to forcefully declare my personal conviction to the devil that what he wants me to do is ungodly and against God's word. How are convictions formed? Well, we know it's by the Spirit again. But convictions are formed as we read God's word, and he makes the word alive to us, doesn't he? We form convictions. We get conviction. We unswervingly stand without giving up or letting go. Don't you love that? You know, we can't muck around with sin. You can't mess with sin. And the reason why I say this is because the Bible says this. You know, what does Paul say? He says this to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Any Richie Beno supporters out there? 2 for 22. It's a cricket analogy. Most of you, it's over the top. But some of those cricketers out there, Dave Johnson, you get me? 2 for 22. Any other Aussies here? Good, Jordan. Oh, Michael. Oh, Josh, you're an Aussie, kind of. 2 for 22. 2 Timothy 2, 22. Says this. This is a good scripture for 2022, actually. So, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Oh, man, I love this. Faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Let me ask you this word. Is the word flee, is that a passive word? It's not a passive word, is it? When you deal with the devil, you can't be passive. That's one of the point I'm trying to make this morning. If we're passive, he's going to mess you up. He's going to take you out. He is. We've all learned this along the journey. That's why maybe I'm so passionate about this morning. But he says for us to flee. So now the imagery of the word flee. Think about this, right? It's the Serengeti. The Serengeti, you're on safari. The Serengeti is a big area in Africa. It's one of the biggest deserts in the world. Or maybe for those who've heard of the Kruger National Park or the Okavango Delta, up further north, there's beautiful places like that in Africa. And have you ever seen these documentaries like David Attenborough? And he's, you know, he's talking about the Serengeti and the antelope are roaming around the Serengeti. And there we have some lions. The lions are just perched themselves under a tree. I need my brother-in-law, Stephen, here. He's got a good Pommy accent. But you don't ever see an antelope in the Serengeti. You see the antelope's there and it smells the lion. Does the antelope just go like this? Okay, I'm just going to frolic along and go to the greener pastures and get away from the lion. No! The antelope! Ah! The antelope is fleeing. It's getting the hell out of there. The antelope is running for its life. This is the imagery behind this word. In the Greek, it says it a little bit more calmly and succinctly. But I'm giving you my translation. So that word, once again, flee. It's not passive. Come on, church. We can't be passive in these times. We can't be slumbering. We need to have our eyes opened. We need to be aware of the devil's plans. We can't be unaware. That's ignorance. And we got all we need. It's in the scriptures for us. It says there, flee, run away, bolt. Do a Usain Bolt. Running down 100 meter stretch. That's how we need to be when it comes to sin. We need to get on our heels, turn around, and run as fast as we can in the opposite direction. Because what does the Bible say in Hebrews? I think it's in Hebrews where it talks about how the devil wants to ensnare us, doesn't he? Not only does he chase after us, trying to devour us, he actually puts snares. He places snares along the path to catch us up, to hinder us, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, to stop us from moving forward. So the Bible says we need to break off everything which is ensnaring us and run the race. Run the race. I wrote this down. If you take your notes, you can write this down. The desires of sin must be replaced by a greater desire. The desire of sin must be replaced by a greater desire. One cannot only turn from sin, but must turn towards something in its place. That's why it says there, flee aggressively, get away, and then pursue. Pursue. Run after. So run away from sin and run after God. Sounds simple, doesn't it? In the moment, it's not always that simple. In the moment, it's not always that simple. That's why to have God's word in our heart is so valuable, leading and directing our lives. Pursue. I love this. Pursue righteousness. I love that. Even though it's not by our righteousness that we are saved, the Bible says for us to pursue righteousness. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus before time began for good works. The Lord has created us for good, for righteousness' sake. But as you all know, we were tainted by sin, weren't we? We were tainted by the devil. Adam and Eve, they never did this. When the tempter came, they should have fleed. They should have bolted, but they didn't. They entertained the thought of being wise in their own eyes. They entertained the thought of being like God. That's what they entertained. And they fell for the devil's trick. And that's what the devil does, doesn't he? He presents the bait and he hides the hook. That's what he does. It looks so good. It looks so appealing. I mean, we do a lot of fishing. Heart City, we fishermen, a lot of us, every year. And what we do is when we go to catch salmon, we never make the hook super, super conspicuous, do we? We try and hide the hook in the bait. Why? We want the fish to think that's just a normal little swimming bait and for it to take it. That's what the devil does to us. He presents well. He presents well. And then we fall for the bait. And next minute, he's got us on the end of his line. And some of us have been stuck on the end of the devil's line for years. And he plays with us. And he throws the bait out and he reels it in and he reels it in and he watches. And he goes, okay, that strategy is not working. I'm going to get a new bait. So he switches from using muleys. Then he puts plastic on, a little plastic bait. He'll cast that down. He'll catch us a few times. And then we get a bit smarter to it. And then he'll try a different bait. He's going to go, okay, I'm going to use the lure this time. He keeps changing the bait. The thing is this, though, the hook is always the same. What does it lead to? What is the fish that catches the bait? What does that lead to? A good meal for us, yeah? But not a great outcome for the fish. I love eating fish, by the way. And I do apologize to all those fish I've eaten in the past, those present and past. But we need to be aware. Not everything that shines is gold. I don't know if that's right, but all that glitters is not gold. Thank you, Coral. All that glitters is not gold. Flee youthful lusts. Now, okay, so Jesus gives us a resistance plan. Are you ready for it? I call this resistance training 101. Are you ready? In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus is crucified, we know the story. The disciples are with him. It's late at night. It's been a heck of a day, literally. And what happens? The disciples, what do? They fall asleep, don't they? They start napping. Where's Jeff? Jeff's sleeping. Wake up, Jeff. Yeah. That's how the disciples were. If you watch The Wiggles, you know what I'm referring to. Poor old Jeff, he's always fast asleep. And he misses out, doesn't he? But, so this happens a number of occasions. Jesus is, you know, sweating blood, literally. And the disciples, what are they doing? They can't keep their eyes open. This is what Jesus says to them. He says to them, "Why are you sleeping?" He asked them, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation. Jesus says, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not give into temptation." I'll read it to you from the ESV. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Wow. Isn't that a very simple and easy to remember combat when the devil comes with us to tempt us with sin? Number one, get up. In other words, don't be apathetic. I've mentioned this a number of times this morning. When the devil comes, we can't be apathetic. We've got to do something. Jesus says, yeah, get up. Get up. When you're lying in front of the TV at all hours of the morning and there's nonsense on there, what do you need to do? Get up. Get up. Turn the TV off and go to bed. You'll eventually fall asleep. Get up. Come on. Be practical when you're facing temptation. Don't just think, oh, you know, I'm a Christian. God's going to sort this all out for me and I'll just continue in the slumber. No, no, no. Be active. Face sin actively. Get up. When you notice words are coming out your mouth which aren't godly, shut your mouth. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just make it too, we spiritualize things too much. If you start thinking something you know is ungodly, I've got something to tell you this morning. Stop it. Stop that thinking. Clint said it on Friday night. Think about what you're thinking about. Is it bringing glory and honor to God? I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. I'm going to get to that point in a sec. But firstly, Jesus says here, get up. Change your location. Go for a bike ride. Go for a walk. If you know you're facing temptation, whatever the temptation might be, do something different physically. I found this helps me. Do something different physically. Go and water the garden or wash the car or hang up the clothes. Just do something. Just don't sit there and marinate in the temptation, right? Don't marinate in the temptation. That's the devil's way of hooking us. Secondly, Jesus says, get up and a word that starts with P and ends in Y, four letters, probably one of the hardest things to do in this world that we live in, even though we've got 24 hours a day, pray. Why is it so difficult to pray? Why do we make it so difficult? I don't know. I've been a Christian for most of my life. And this is the area where I'm often challenged in. That I'm not taking the time. How about you? When last were you able to get through a week of praying every day for a certain amount of time? Come on, we need to be doing this. This is what Jesus said. Get up and incline your thoughts, incline your mind, incline your devotions towards the Lord. That's what it's basically saying. It's not thinking about what you're thinking about anymore, but rather looking to the Lord. That's what prayer is, isn't it? It's communion with Him. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. We've got to wait. We pray, we read the Word, we listen. We listen to what the Holy Spirit wanting to say to us. So as we do these two things, get up and pray, it says here that we do not enter into temptation. Isn't that good? We don't want to go there. Man, we don't want to mess with the devil. We don't want to mess with this stuff. It's not going to help us in our journey with the Lord. It's going to delay. It delays God's plan. Look at the nation of Israel. Typical. And we look at them and they went in the wilderness for 40 years. And what was the cycle? You think about the cycle of the nation of Israel in the wilderness. They'd follow idols. They'd sin. Calamity would come on them. They'd repent. And then there'd be peace. A number of years goes past. They follow other gods. Sin. Calamity would fall on them. They turn from their evil ways. They have peace. God blesses them. Let's do it again. For 40 years, they delayed God's plan for their lives. They didn't get to that promised land. It took 40 years, didn't it? See, we can play a part in the transforming of our lives and God's plan for our lives by being obedient to Him. I really believe that with all my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I love the scripture. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. In other words, the devil's only got one old trick. Present the bait and hook you, right? And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out that you can endure it. We need to suffer through temptation by not giving into it. Sometimes we've got to suffer through temptation that we don't give into it. But I love here the fact that God says that He will not let you get tempted beyond what you can bear. Why? He's given us the Word and He's given us His Spirit, hasn't He? These are the tools that God gives us by His Spirit to overcome temptation. All right. So that's the temptation part. Resistance Training 101, Matthew chapter 22. It's there. Get up and pray. Amen? Is that easy enough to remember? Get up and pray. This week, you might not be falling asleep like the disciples are, but maybe you're falling asleep to the devil and you're allowing him to tempt you. Can I encourage you? Get proactive. Get up and pray. Do something. Don't allow yourself to get sucked in to the patterns of this world that the devil is trying to bring. Okay, number three. So number one was be alert. Number two is have a temptation plan. You know, I never normally preach like this. You know me, I'm exegetical. I'll bring a portion of scripture and I'll read it to you and I'll just bring things out. This is something the Lord has put in my heart this morning, and I hope it is helping you this morning because it's practical. All right, number three, take control of your thoughts. Amen. As I told you, Clint said, think about what you're thinking about. 2 Corinthians, this scripture has been a scripture for me, which has helped me so much. We demolish arguments and every pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Come on. See, once again, this is not passive. You're going to think, I don't know how many thinks you think a day, how many thoughts you think a day. I think a few thoughts. Wake up, breakfast, shower, clothes. I'm sure we think a lot more than just that, don't we? Our mind is constantly thinking thoughts. Food, Priscilla, you know. Our minds are full of thoughts, aren't they? Continuously. Our minds are going at a heck of a speed thinking thoughts. And quite often, we'll get thoughts and we're like, where did that thought come from? Have you ever thought to yourself, how the heck did I get that thought about somebody or about doing something? Come on, that is not of God. So what do we do with those thoughts? Man, we've got to put them in the trash can. You know, your email, you get spam. You got to spam that stuff. That is spam. That's there to bring you down. There's a hook in there. They're trying to get you to go to another site so they can make money off you, right? Those spam emails. They want to sell you Bitcoin, or they want to sell you some kind of currency, or they want to try to do something. You know, I was selling a car not long ago, and this guy came to look at the car. He said, can we go for a drive? I said, sure, let's go. Went for a drive, and I worked out pretty quickly that he wasn't wanting to buy the car. He was actually trying to sell me something. Unbelievable. He was trying to hook me into this network. He spoke to me about it flat out for 15 minutes. Church, luckily I'm a little bit discerning like that. And I said to him, you don't want to buy my car, do you? Oh, no, I am looking at a number of vehicles. But do you want to sign up to this? I said, I do not want to sign up to your plan because you've been very deceptive with me. You've wasted my time. Jumped in his car and he drove away. Unbelievable at the levels of deception people will go to these days. Crazy, right? But what we need to do, we need to take, as the word says, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, take every thought captive. We need to grab that thought. Don't just entertain that thought. Grab it. Take it captive, and you make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean? How do you make a thought obedient to Christ? Well, you know, we know what Jesus was about, right? We know what Jesus lived for. We know that through reading Scripture. We know that by the Holy Spirit making us aware of what Jesus would want. We are not ignorant. We know. The Lord has put this in our heart through the Holy Spirit. We can take captive. Listen to this. The definition of the word captive is to subdue, ensnare in a war situation. Again, this is war. This is not subtle. Renewing your mind is not just a lovely Christian experience. We all sit around, hold hands and sing, Kumbaya, the Lord, renew my mind. No. We need to be on the front foot. Amen? This is war. We're going to take captive the enemy and put him in his cell where he belongs. And the more we do it, the easier it gets, I've found. Amen? You know what? You can retrain your brain. You can. It's been shown that some of us, our brains are a bit more plastic than others. But as you get older, your brain gets harder. It's harder to change when you get older, isn't it? That's what they say. It's harder to change as you get older, but we all have the capacity to change. Our brains are malleable. We do need to get new patterns. You look at this cognitive behavior therapy, cognitive brain therapy, where you can retrain your brain in a secular way. We can do that with the Word of God. Amen? Take every thought captive in obedience to the Lord. But I think that's all I want to share this morning. We're just about 11 o'clock. So just to recap, God saves us. He saves us for transformation, that he's transforming our lives into what? Into the image of his Son. That's what this is all about. That while we're on this earth, our lives will bring glory and honor to him. No, we are never going to be perfect. We're not. We are going to fall. We're going to make mistakes along the journey. We are. I've made many, so have you. But the Lord has this desire in his heart to change our hearts and our minds and our purposes towards his purposes, that we might know, Romans chapter 12, the perfect will of him. So this morning, as we go into this week, can I encourage us, let's be alert. Let's not be passive. Let's have a temptation plan. Come on, let's fight back. Resistance is not futile. We are fighting back. Flee youthful lusts. Take control of your thoughts. All of this under the Spirit of God's enabling. Amen. This doesn't happen in our own strength. You can't buy a self-help book and change overnight, but you can as you get God's book. Amen. God's word. That can change you. It's the long-lasting change that leads to transformation. That's God's word. Amen? Amen. Because God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit. That's God's word. It's there for us. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us on this journey. You know, this morning I felt, as we close the service, to pray for a few people. No matter what degree of where you're at right now, but maybe you've been struggling. Maybe this morning the Lord has opened your eyes again, opened your ears, opened your mind to hear God's word. And this week, as you go, I'm going to pray that the Lord's going to strengthen you to put this into practice. Amen. There's one thing having knowledge. There's another thing applying knowledge and God's word. Why don't we pray? Commit this word to the Lord. Well, Lord, we want to thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you lead and guide us by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. And we do not have to be afraid of the devil, because the devil has already been defeated. And he will try his utmost. He will try his utmost to bring us down. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have your Spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord, that you've transformed our passions. You've transformed our thinking. You are transforming our lives for your glory, God, to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, let us not be apathetic in this day and age. Let us be living our lives awake with eyes wide open to the plans and the ploys of the enemy. Lord, let us run the race of endurance, Lord. Oh God, we ask this morning that you lead and guide us by your Spirit. Renew our lives, Lord, according to your word and according to your plans and your principles which you've put in place, God. This morning, Lord, we submit. As it says in James chapter 4, submit our lives under the hand of God. And as we resist the devil, he will flee from us. That's a promise you put in your word, Lord. We thank you for that this morning. I speak it over your people, Lord, that we are a people on purpose. We will not allow the devil to derail your purpose, God. We take a stand this morning, Lord. We take a stand for righteousness, Lord. We take off the garment of sin. We put on Jesus. We put on Jesus this morning. Lord, we're going to follow you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, Lord Jesus, today. So maybe you're here this morning and you need prayer. Can I encourage you just to come up now? We're not going to make a big deal of this. As we close the service, Maybe we can just put some music on in the background there. Can I just ask that you just be aware of those coming up for prayer this morning? But I'd like to ask, can we just stand? Can we stand together, church, just quickly as we close the service? So I'd like to dismiss you. You can all go and have lunch. There's wonderful lunch out there. But as you go, if there's anyone here this morning, the Lord has been speaking to you. And as I've spoke this morning, your heart has been pounding. You know what that is? That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. I felt it many times. We all have. So this morning, maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need strengthening. And sometimes the Bible says we need to call on those around us to lay hands on us and strengthen us. It's a beautiful thing. So if you're here this morning, you need prayer. Can I invite you to come up? Just come up quickly. Just leave your seat and walk to the front. I'm going to ask some of our elders who are here today, Ron and Dave, can I ask you to join me? We would like to pray for these beautiful people. If we can just put that music on in the background. And while we're doing this, you're welcome to go and have lunch. Otherwise, you're welcome just to hang around here. I'll just be respectful of those we are praying for this morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Amen.